Joining us now is Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. Senator, did Devin Nunes make the right choice?
Well, you know, it's hard for me to know because I don't know all of the details, but I think Devin Nunes did a service to the country by exposing Susan Rice, and I believe that's what happened. I don't know all the information that changed hands, but I think that Susan Rice did something terribly damaging to the country because we can't allow, the intelligence community loses a lot of credibility when we find out it's being politicized, and so there are dangers, really, to having political people use top-secret information for political purposes. And I think the more we learn about Susan Rice, the more we're going to learn that she's been involved, I think, in a lot of shenanigans with using intelligence at the White House for political purposes.
Here is Donald Trump with the New York Times. Mysteriously, he decides to sit down with them again. Here's what he said on this. Cut one.
I think the Susan Rice thing is a massive story. I think it's going to be the biggest story.
Why? I mean, what do you think?
What else?
Take a look at what's happening. I mean, first of all, her performance was horrible yesterday on television, even though she was interviewed by Hillary Clinton's PR person, Andrea Mitchell. Of course, you've been accused of that also, so, you know.
Mostly by you, though.
No. Mostly by a lot of people.
And he went on to this, cut two.
What are the people you think are going to get ensnared in this? Can you give us a sense? How far
from the previous administration?
I think from the previous administration.
How far do you think it goes?
Yeah.
Chief of staff?
I don't want to say, but...
President?
I don't want to say, but...
Do you think she might have committed a crime?
Do I think?
Yeah.
Yes, I think.
Do you think she committed a crime?
Yeah, I think she did something that's devastating, and that is to take top secret information without a warrant for looking at an American individual and expose that individual and then perhaps be associated with people who may have leaked this information. But you can't have the executive branch of government listening in on conversations. Think about it. If a U.S. senator is talking to the ambassador to Jordan or to Israel, should the executive branch, the president, be allowed to listen to private conversations between senators and heads of state? This is what happened. There were senators and congressmen talking to Netanyahu about a year or so ago, and the White House is listening in on these too. This is a real problem. This is why we need overall reform in how much data is gathered. And I think to unmask an American is something we should obey the Constitution with. Now, we have a lower standard for eavesdropping on foreigners, but for eavesdropping on legislators, one, that shouldn't happen because there should be a separation of powers and protection of each branch of government's powers. But two, if you want to look at an American or listen to an American's phone call, they should go through a regular court and ask a regular judge to listen to it. Having political people who have been known to be partisans and very, very biased, like Susan Rice, you can't let those people shouldn't have the ability to look at Americans' phone calls.
Isn't a FISA court good enough?
The FISA court is a secret court, so one of the problems with a secret court is you don't get a lawyer on your side. There's only a lawyer on one side. It's a one-sided court, which is a problem. The other problem is that it's in secret. Now, you could say, well, we'll accept a lower standard for spying on foreigners, and even the privacy advocate that I am, I can accept somewhat of a lower standard for foreigners, but when they're talking to Americans, to listen to the Americans or to unmask the Americans, I think you ought to go to a regular court and have a regular court order or warrant.
Senator, let's talk about what's happening in the White House. You spent a lot of time with the president. I know he has he really respects you. He seems to really go to you a lot. You guys were golfing together on Sunday. There's been some movement. Steve Bannon's been pushed back to the point, if you don't believe the New York Times and Politico, that he almost quit when it comes to being a member of that Principals Committee, National Security Advisor. Who's up, who's down in that White House? And do you want to see some changes with the people surrounding the president?
You know, I don't think that's my prerogative, really, to tell the president who he needs to have around him. I've met with all of them. I think I have good relations with all of them. And what we're most happy is that this White House is very open to listening to conservatives, to listening to Republicans, and that's an unusual thing after 8 years. So I don't have complaints. I have nothing but good things to say about the relationship that Donald Trump is trying to have with Congress. The vice president is at our Republican lunch in the Senate once or twice a week. We see Reince Priebus. We talk to Steve Bannon.
So you have no say. Okay.
Mick Mulvaney. No, I think it's mostly good. I don't have a negative thing to say about it, really.
Nikki Haley said this yesterday, cut 20.
Yesterday morning, we awoke to pictures, to children, foaming at the mouth, suffering convulsions, being carried in the arms of desperate parents.
And she says, we cannot close our eyes to this responsibility. The president says it is his responsibility. Do you think we should do what Senator McCain said and make this thing a no-fly zone? And if they tried to fly, bomb out their runways?
Well, I think the first thing we ought to do is probably obey the Constitution. You know, when Nikki Haley came before my committee and I voted for her, I asked her that question. You know, will you try to take us to war? Will you advocate for war without constitutional or congressional authority? And she said no. And so I assumed what she means by this is that the president, if he decides to do something in Syria, would come to Congress and ask for a declaration of war. Short of Congress voting on it, I'm opposed to illegal and unconstitutional wars. I have the greatest amount of sympathy. Look, I can't see those pictures, and it's heartrending to see those pictures. But going to war, we have to decide, will it be better or worse? Will we improve our national security? Are we threatened currently by Syria? And if we go to war, is Assad likely to use less chemical weapons or more? There is some argument for the more cornered and the more defeated someone is, the more likely they are to use chemical weapons, and actually for the less defeated they are and the more ascendancy they are, that they are less likely to use them. The bottom line is it's horrific, and nobody can see those pictures.
So even for a limited action, you want Congress to say to okay it, even for a limited action?
That's what the Constitution says. The Constitution says that when we are involved in war, that Congress should vote on it because war is such a serious subject.
How would you vote?
You know, I think what we'd have to do is present the evidence, and then we have a very serious debate over what exactly happened. See, I've not seen any of the intelligence. I would like to see the exact
– Gotcha.
We have pictures of everything. I want to see exactly what is the evidence that the Syrian government did it before I make a decision. All the news reports have concluded
Gotcha.
That, and it's probably true, but I want to see the evidence of that.
Senator Paul, thanks so much. Chris Whipple next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Brian Kilmeade.